Who is standing on the promises of God even this morning? Do you know how to stand on the promises of God? Do you know how to stand and use the word of God so that it is effective in your life? Well, we're going to look at one promise now from Romans chapter 8 verse 1. It will be on the screen. Would you read it out? It's on the screen. Read it out loud. That wasn't said with any degree of confidence. Can you say it again? Come on, do you know? For no matter how many promises God has made, they are yes in Christ. And so through him, the Amen is spoken by us to the glory of God. The promises are yes in Christ Jesus. There is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. That's an interesting word, condemnation. It means penal servitude. There is now no penal servitude for those who are in Christ Jesus, for those who have been forgiven. Hallelujah. So if you have been forgiven, you have been released from that prison of sin, that prison of fear, that prison of condemnation. You are in Christ. There is now no condemnation. All who are in Christ Jesus should no longer be doing penal servitude. Let's have the next promise, please. The word of God is true, it's living, it's active. Has that verse at any time in any of your lives really spoken to you? When you think, thank you, Lord. Can anyone say, give a quick testimony when that verse, when that promise really spoke to them? And hey, they gave the glory to God and kicked Satan in. Yes, anyone? Anyone? There's now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. What does that mean to you this morning? Anyone? What does that mean? You believe that, and you've got to believe it. If you're a believer, if you're a Christian, if you're a follower of Jesus, that is true for you. What does that mean to you? What difference does that make in your life, in your witness? We don't have to fear the wrath of God, the judgment of God. Yeah, you come as a son, you come as a daughter. Yeah, hallelujah. Thank you. Let's have the next promise, and if you can read it out, please.
If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just, and will forgive us our sins, and purify us from all unrighteousness.
For no matter how many promises God has made, they are yes in Christ, and so through him the Amen is spoken by us to the glory of God. Amen to the glory of God. And folk, we need to be sensitive to God's Holy Spirit. We do need to be sensitive to God's Holy Spirit, because within all of us there's still some indwelling corruption, if you like. There's still some sin which still needs to be eradicated. We're all aware from time to time. Thoughts come to us which we wish they didn't. You know, and we can think or do something which we know we've grieved the Holy Spirit. If we're sensitive to the Holy Spirit, we know we grieved him. We know we grieved him. We may say something unkind to a brother or a sister. Say, oh no, where did that come from? I wish I could take it back. So we have to say sorry, but also sorry to the Lord. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to purify us from all unrighteousness. This confessing is done by the people who are walking in the light. Who are walking in the light. As God is in the light, we want to continue to walk in the light. And part of that is that we confess our shortcomings, confess our failings, confess our sins. And having confessed them, to believe that Jesus has forgiven. We're cleansed by the blood. Because that same passage from 1 John, because it all has to be taken into context, the context has to be taken into account. It says, you know, if we say, and it's talking to believers, it's talking to the saints, if we say that we have no sin, we're actually making God a liar. But if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness, because we're serving a faithful God. It's rooted in his holiness, in his justice, in his love, in his integrity, in who God is. Shall we have the next promise, please? Let's read it out.
Jesus said, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest.
For no matter how many promises God has made, they are yes in Christ. That is yes in Christ. And so through him, the Amen is spoken by us to the glory of God. What does it mean to come to the Lord? Come to me, all you are weary. What does that mean? What does it mean? To call upon him. To submit. Yeah. It means responding to him in faith. It means believing in him. It means believing in him. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Has that promise spoken to anyone? Very, you know, because sometimes these words hit us, you know, when we're perhaps feeling over anxious, burdened down. You know, we've got a trial, a particular test, and somehow the Lord quickens that word to us. Has that spoken to anyone? Yeah. Good. Praise God. Come to Jesus. What does John verse 35 say? I'll read it. Jesus declared, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never go hungry, and he who believes in me will never be thirsty. Coming to him means believing in him. We're urged to come. We're invited to come to Jesus. And of course, that is, Jesus spoke these words and he was thinking of these people who had been really burdened down by the Pharisees, the scribes, by the religious people who were putting demands on them. And this is a reminder to us, you can't earn salvation, you can't get forgiveness by doing it yourself, by trying to work your way up the ladder until you're good enough for the Lord. You come as you are. You come as you are and receive the love, the forgiveness. And Jesus is saying to you and to me this morning, if you're bowed down, maybe what somebody has done to you, or it may be what you have done to them, and if only, but it seems too late, and you're over anxious, you're overburdened, you feel the pain within, you're virtually broken hearted. Jesus is saying to you this morning, this is a promise, it's a yes in Christ for his glory. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Can anybody think of some other scriptures, perhaps from the Old or the New Testament, which confirms that word? Perhaps which the Lord has spoken to you. Isn't that lovely? That is. That's lovely. That really is good, isn't it?
Yeah. But everything about prayer, supplication, and thanksgiving, and the request of the name of God, and the peace of God, and for God, your heart and mind.
Thank you. Yeah. Yeah. And I quoted that again from Isaiah 26 verse 3, I believe, you know, he whose mind is stayed upon Jehovah, he who's looking to the Lord, he who's come to the Lord, he will give his peace, perfect peace. We're talking about the rest of Christ. When everything might be in turmoil, he can supernaturally, I've experienced it time and time again, supernaturally, that peace. The world doesn't know, but the believer can experience it. Faith is trusting the Lord. It's believing on him. Come to me. So I pray even now, whatever the oppressor, Satan, whatever your circumstances may be saying, this is the word of the Lord. Somebody said just now about submitting, surrendering to the Lord. Come to me. Let's have the next promise. Let's read it out. But no matter how many promises God has made, they are yes in Christ. And so through him, the Amen is spoken by us to the glory of God. Amen. That is the word of God. Who doesn't believe that? Who says, no, you can't accept it, don't believe. Anybody here, please? Anyone who just doesn't believe that? Who can't get to grips with it? Well, that would be perhaps pushing it if I ask you to put your hand up, but because there's some times when we do feel separated. There are times when we do feel, where is God? Does he really love me? Have I blown it? I've done it again. But that says, for the believer, for the follower of Christ, for the one who's seeking to walk with the Lord Jesus, as Mark said earlier, you know, what each day, what is the Lord's will for me today? How can I please my master? What does he want me to say? What does he want me to do? Well, he first of all wants us to love and to walk uprightly. He wants us to remain humble so that he's exalted. He wants us to commit our way to the Lord. He will direct our paths. Hallelujah. He can't be part of our life. He has to be our life. He has to be our life. Neither death nor life. Says nothing. Did you read that? It says, nor anything else. Anything else in all creation. It seems to me, the picture I've got is the Apostle Paul. He's sitting at the grand piano. He's sitting at the organ, you know, these massive organs. And he's now pulled out all of the stops. All of the stops are out. That's the picture I've got. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It says nothing in all creation. It says that nothing, disappointments, a financial crisis, disease, nothing, a broken romance, nothing can separate you from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Even insanity, if you're a follower of Jesus. Who wrote Pilgrim's Progress? Children, who wrote Pilgrim's Progress? Who wrote Pilgrim's Progress? John Bunyan. John Bunyan, okay. You all knew that. The children did, but you'd forgotten. John Bunyan. He wrote. Now, John Bunyan suffered from depression. Tom Bunyan suffered from depression. Now, he walked, if I do need to read Pilgrim's Progress again. All of you, read Pilgrim's Progress. If you want to read the Pilgrim's Progress, get it. There is a modern version in the library, okay? So, particularly for the children. So at the end of the service, the first one, grab it, okay? Okay, Pilgrim's Progress. But John Bunyan, and one day, he was sitting at his desk, and he was so anxious about the future. He was suffering from depression, and he was anxious even about tomorrow. And he opened his Bible. That verse hit him, and he was lifted up out of his depression. Hallelujah. He knew that the Lord was with him. The Lord is his God. Nothing could separate him because of the love of God. Hallelujah. Glory to his name. God came to his rescue. God will come to your rescue as well. Believe. Have faith in God. Have faith in God. And then we'll look at... There's just two to go. The next one, please. Okay, let's read that. For no matter how many promises God has made, they are yes in Christ. And so through him, the Amen is spoken to us to the glory of God. Hallelujah. That's a promise. Come near to God. Draw near to God. And he will draw near to you. He will come near to you. That is, again, written for the believer, for the follower of Jesus. But the context is very, very important. You notice it comes from James chapter 4. Okay? And the context is that the Holy Spirit is grieved with the people. Very grieved. At one stage he says, you're an adulterous generation. Don't you realize friendship with the world makes you an enemy of God? That's what he's saying. If you're a friend of the world, yes, you may love me, you may be, but you will make yourself an enemy if you become a friend of the world, if you imbibe their values, if you walk with them and have the same talk as them. Friendship with the world makes you an end. He says, you're an adulterous generation. I've called you to be separate. I've called you to be for me. I'm jealous of you. My way is best. Forsake the world. Do not love the world, the things of the world. Come out from among them and be you separate, says the Lord. My way is best, says the Lord. If you're in a relationship which is ungodly, which is not pleasing to the Lord, forsake it now. The Lord has better things for you. Because the context of that, come to me and I will come near to you, says, if you humble yourself, I will lift you up. If the devil's on your case, you can resist him and he will flee from you. Come near to God and he will come near to you. The context says, you, if you're in the world, if you're now of the world, you must begin wailing. Your laughter should be turned to mourning. The word of God says, come out from the world. The associations that you are in, forsake now. And the Lord has given you his promise. He says, you come near to me, I will come near to you. There is now no condemnation to you because you're in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That is the word of the Lord. He has grace to lavish upon you. Grace to lavish upon you. You're his child. We are his children. He has lavished his love upon us. He's pouring his grace upon you. Forsake your wicked ways. I will draw near to you. And once I've drawn near to you, your past is the past. There is no condemnation. Hallelujah. Glory to God. The final promise is this. Hallelujah. Oh, gee, read it out. For no matter how many promises God has made, they are yes in Christ. And so through him, the Amen is spoken by us to the glory of God. I am with you always to the end of the age. That's not just a promise. It is a fact. It is a fact. There's nothing vague about that. Can you see anything vague about that? I can't see anything vague about that. I am with you to the very end of the age. Of course, that is, as Mark referred to the Great Commission just now, it's in the context of the Great Commission, making disciples, being obedient to the Lord, teaching people all things the Lord has commanded you. But he says, I am with you always to the end of the age. He says, my grace is sufficient for you. My strength is made perfect in your weakness. It's a promise. God cannot go back on his word. I am with you always to the very end of the age. Shout it out. Go on. Just shout it out.
I am with you always to the very end of the age.
Can we just run through the six promises and read them out, please? People said,
Amen.
To the glory of God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen.